Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, spooning the coffee of conversation into the cafetiere of chat, pouring on the hot water of humour and pushing down the plunger of the internet. Hello, James.
Hello, Ed Gamble. I'm just trying to think. I mean, obviously, there's a cafetiere on the window sill over there. That's where you got that idea from. I'll tell you what's happened.
Is that I was going to do a tea bag with tea, hot water onto it, do that sort of thing for the intro. And then we decided on the secret ingredient already, which is tea-based, spoiler warning. And I didn't want you to think that I'd got the idea for my intro from the tea-based thing. Yes. So I quickly changed it. But it seems that I'm in a similar situation because now you're accusing me of... the cafetiere's there. But it's not why I did it, because it was sat right there. Benito made me a coffee earlier. Thank you, Benito.
Yes. This is the Off Menu podcast. We invite a guest into our dream restaurant and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Maisie Adam. Maisie Adam, a wonderful comedian.
So funny. I mean, you know, you might have seen her on Mock the Week. You might have seen her live tour shows. Maybe you've seen her on a mixed bill. She pops up and she's been on Hypothetical with Josh Whittaker and myself.
She's been on Wilty.
Wilty, as it's called in the biz.
Wilty, MTW, H. She's done them all.
H.
She's not done H. That makes me sound like I'm accusing her of being a drug addict.
Yeah.
Hypothetical, I was talking about, which is as addictive as heroin.
Yeah. Oh, it certainly is, folks.
Certainly is for the guys at Dave. They can't get enough of that.
They can't get enough. They keep recommissioning it. Well, Maisie's a fantastic comic, but...
She's on tour soon.
A what?
She's on tour.
Music to my ears. Tell me more.
It's called Buzzed, James, and it starts in September.
Oh, everyone, you better get tickets to that ASAP. It's going to be so funny. You're going to be rolling in the aisles.
If there are aisles.
Yeah, and if there's not, maybe just roll in that bit between your seat and the seat in front of you. Yeah.
Or all go down to the front of the stage.
Yeah.
And roll around.
With a little mosh pit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love it if people moshed at Maisie's gig.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd like it at your gig, surely.
No, just sit there, just slap a smile on your face, and we'll get through it.
Yeah.
I'm on tour as well. The show's called Electric. It's going all over the UK. So that's go exciting. To edgamble.co.uk for more information to see me live.
Electric Buzz.
Electric Buzzed. We should team up.
I mean, that's really, people buying tickets to comedy shows should be seeing those shows back to back.
Yeah, they should be, really.
That's important.
See mine first and then Maisie.
Yeah, Electric Buzzed.
Yeah.
Not Buzzed Electric.
Buzzed Electric sounds like some sort of knockoff Toy Story merch.
I'd buy it. And yeah. I'd buy tickets to the shows. Not gonna. Gonna ask for freebies.
Yes, you can have a freebie.
Thank you.
Or don't come.
Ah, that is an option.
But of course, however good a comedian Maisie Adam is, if she says a secret ingredient, which we will say now, then she'll be kicked out of the Dream Restaurant.
Yes, and this week the secret ingredient is...
Green tea. Green tea. Now, this is a controversial choice, I think.
Yeah, some people love it. Do you love it?
I love it as a flavour. I don't like a cup of green tea.
I'm thinking more of a cup of green tea. Okay. I like it as a flavour. So, yeah, I mean, I'm on your side there.
Yeah.
But a cup
of green
tea.
Are we talking about, so if Maisie talks about having a cup of green tea, maybe as her drink, then she's out of it.
Then she's out. If she says matcha green tea ice cream or something, I'm not going to chuck anyone out
for
that.
Exactly. Yeah. But like a green tea bag in water, no, it tastes like spoons. I'm not into it.
Oh, it does taste like spoons. I remember getting into, you know, herbal teas and stuff like that and thinking, oh, maybe green tea's going to be the way to go for me as well.
Nuh-uh. So if Maisie says green tea,
she'll be out on her ass and we will make no apologies.
And green tea, James, was suggested by a listener, specifically Francis Bell.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling!
It's Francis. Thank you, Francis Bell. Now, this is the off-menu menu of... Maisie Adam.
Maisie Adam!
Ding-a-ling-a-ling!
Ding-a-ling-a-ling!
Welcome, Maisie, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Maisie Adam, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
I didn't think the genie came out so quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's not trying to rush you along or anything.
No, I was going to say, I started looking at my watch thinking, all right, should just go straight to dessert.
Thought it was going
to
stay in the lamp for a bit?
You thought you were going to stay in there.
Is that what you thought?
Yeah. Normally, I think there's a good few minutes. But I'm glad you're out the lamp. It's lovely to have you.
Well, it's always interesting. I think we've discussed it before. He does just come out of the lamp, even though in genie law.
In genie law.
Yeah, you got to rub it normally, right?
Normally, yes, but that's like, you
there's
know,
there's a lot
of,
unsolicited appearances actually. From the genie.
Yeah.
When you listen to the episodes, just a lot of like, it's not like a vampire where you wait to be invited.
Yeah.
You just spring out that lamp.
Yeah, imagine if we'd done this podcast and I'd chosen to be a vampire.
That would be a different tone.
Yeah, that would have a really different vibe to
the
this.
Vampire waiter.
The vampire waiter.
Just looming over you. Even when you've ordered, he stays stood over you in his cave, watching you drink your soup slowly.
Yeah, what do you think vampires want people to eat so their blood tastes nice?
Good question.
Oh, yeah, what would make... I guess stuff with lots of iron in it.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that...
So iron brew.
Just iron brew.
Just drinking iron brew.
Yeah, spinach.
Iron brew and spinach sounds like it could have been on the ideas table for what Rocky ate in the films before they got to Raw Egg.
Yeah.
Just iron brew and spinach.
In the montage.
I would have liked to have seen that. Sylvester Stallone opening his fridge in his tiny apartment in the middle of the night.
Would have been a better film.
Chopping up some spinach and kale. Yeah. And then...
Downing an iron brew.
Yeah.
Burping his way through the fight.
Yeah, and instead of Adrian, it's just a Dracula in the corner.
I'd prefer that.
Yeah.
Hate Rocky.
Oh, I recently watched it for the first time, having, like, never done so, and heard all the hype. And it was one of them where you just keep looking.
Maisie, what do you mean you heard all the hype about Rocky?
Not
2022. Just catching up on my hype. People seem to love Rocky.
There's this film out called Rocky. They've somehow managed to do 6 or 7. But no, just like, because you often see like posters of Rocky or like it's always like it's quoted a lot. And then I watched it and it was again one of them things where I kept glancing at my watch thinking surely the main plot would have kicked in. By now, and it just didn't.
Find that with a lot of old films, though.
Yeah. I watched a lot of old films over Christmas, though, and some were quite good.
Some good old films.
There are some good old films, as That's my tip. There's some good old. If you look hard enough, yeah, there's some good old films out there.
Rocky.
Rocky ain't one
won though. Best Picture at the Oscars.
No, it didn't.
It did.
Rocky won Best Picture. Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone won Best Screenplay.
But there were like four films. Yeah. Like, this is the thing.
No, to be fair,
it's easy to win. There's like four films, Ben. Yeah. It's like when Edinburgh Comedy Award.
When
it was like the Perrier.
Yeah.
There were like eight comics went up to Edinburgh.
Yeah. Mm. You just had to turn up and toot a horn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Much harder to get nominated, you know, 2010s onwards, I'd say.
I'd say it's even harder to be nominated so many times and not win.
And not win. Yeah. I would say that too. I would say. I'd say that takes some doing.
Yeah.
So that would be an interesting category to be in, wouldn't it, Ed?
It's amazing. How is someone good enough to be nominated but not good enough to win?
Yeah.
That's so, to be
pretty
in that
bleak
pocket.
Existence, yeah. That, isn't it?
Wow, imagine asking yourself that question on an annual basis.
Should have had more iron brew, mate.
Yes. I think we have to make a pact here and now that if you ever do win an Edinburgh Comedy Award, you have to go. You have to go up to the mic and only go, Adrian, Adrian, and from the back of the room, Ed, you have to go.
Yes. Unless Adrian Childs is in the room.
Oh yeah, in which case he'd be up in a heartbeat, wouldn't
he? He'll be confused. not hard. Confusing the Childs.
Why would Adrian Childs be in the room? Would he be your plus one?
Yeah, I'd bring
him.
Because
I know
what James is going to do. Yeah, I'd be like, wait.
Just in case, James. Every time I've been nominated, Ed's brought Adrian Childs along just to see.
Yeah.
And then a very awkward conversation follows. Sorry, Adrian, I'll pay for your train back to West Brom.
Would you like food or something?
Do I like food or something? Yeah, I do. I love food. I really do. I like lots and lots of food. Big spreads. I'm not about. This is where I might anger Ed early on. Here.
Great.
When I hear the word foodie, I think someone like you who likes to go to them very posh places.
No,
the food is small. The food is dead small on a plate. When I think of myself as a foodie, I'm thinking of a big full casserole dish.
Yeah, of course.
Right, so you're not even thinking of plates.
No.
Straight out the dish.
This is going to be a reoccurring theme throughout, I'll warn you now.
Yeah.
I think plates waste time.
That's amazing. So there's that whole thing, that Twitter account called We Want Plates, which is against all those. Have you not seen We Want Plates? We Want Plates is like people sending pictures of like hipster restaurants where they'd like serve
and
the
it's
food
done
on
a
shovel or a slate or something.
Yeah, that's very popular, slates and chopping boards.
Whereas
now,
you don't even want plates. You want it straight out of the pan.
I just don't like it where there's more plate than food.
Okay.
And you go to some lovely establishments and you'll post it on your story and, that's nice, but there's more plate than food there. And I just think as a general rule, food should be the dominating feature of a meal than china.
Yeah, I think you might have convinced me that that's the case as well.
Yeah. Just like, I'll be honest, Ed, I'll say it. Sometimes I look at your story and I go, that could have been on a saucer.
Yeah.
That didn't have to be on a plate.
Yeah.
It didn't.
You said, I'm going to be honest now, as if you're about to say the most offensive thing in the world. You know what, Maisie? I've got no problem with you looking at my Instagram story and thinking that could have been on a saucer.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just feeling the waters.
Yeah.
By the end, I'll be horribly offensive.
I reckon you'd be in his head now. I reckon next time he...
Yeah.
Instagram stories, a food photo.
Yes. Don't look at me like you don't know what those words are.
I'm just making sure I'm getting it right.
I was trying to work out what was happening there. You looked ever so nervous.
I don't know if Instagram story something. I don't know if that's
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think we know what you mean. Yeah. And, but you definitely know what photo means, so it seems weird that you would...
Checking, didn't know what you're calling them these days.
In my head, James takes photos on one of those ones where you click it with your hand and it's got a wire attached to a camera that's very far away.
To sit there for half an hour so it develops properly.
Yeah.
Do you feel that because you're off social media? Do you feel like an old man now?
I
like the world's moving on without you.
Feel like I'm more paranoid about that happening.
Right.
Like I won't know, like even considering doing stand-up again, I'm like, I have no idea what people are talking about though. Am I going to go on and say a bunch of stuff that everyone's already made those jokes on social media, everyone's already talked about that, and I'm just sounding like someone's parent just saying a bunch of stuff that like I think is a really good idea I've had, whereas actually all the teenagers have already said it online.
Right.
I really love the idea that your next show will just be you getting up with physical photos going, some people think this dress is gold. Some people think it's blue.
What do you think?
Now, I've looked at both these pages over and over.
Here's a question. Why is your impression of me more northern than you are?
I think Maisie went into her stage voice.
My stage voice?
Yeah. Is more northern than you are.
You say this sometimes, and I don't know what you mean.
Well, when I'm speaking to you now,
yeah,
you definitely sound northern.
Right.
But congratulations.
Thank you.
When you go on stage, here's how you sound.
Don't you dare.
Help, my name's Maisie Adam. Oh, fucking hell.
I don't sound like Johnny Vegas when I go on stage. This happens a lot, right? You do this. Reece James says it. Whenever Reece James does an impression of me, it sounds like a mixture of Johnny Vegas and Paddy McGuinness.
Yes. I actually don't think you northern it up at all.
No, no, I don't think I do. I think you northern.
You up.
You northern me up.
I northern you up when yes. I do you. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But that's my answer to am I a foodie? Is yes, but...
You like more food than...
I think
not
that's
more
different
food than
to
plate.
What people assume... What, do you not think when people say foodie, they mean like...
There's negative connotations to
it. MasterChef type
yeah,
people.
Maybe.
But
yeah.
I think what we...
I think
what
foodies
we mean
enjoy
when we
a
say
garnish,
foodie is just,
that kind of thing.
Do you think about food? Do you enjoy it?
Oh,
do you?
I think about food a lot.
There
I think
you go.
About food when I float off into a daydream. Mm. 9 times out of 10, it'll go to food. Mm. Yeah, like, you know when you go, like, get a train to a gig?
Yeah.
I'll, like, look out the window. Yeah. I'll think about a few things, but it 9 times out of 10 comes back to food. Just like, I go to say it out loud and then I just realise how odd that sounds. But, like, sometimes I think, how many lasagnas could you eat before it's too many? Like,
how many full lasagnas?
Yeah, full lasagnas. If you had lasagna for breakfast, probably. Lunch and dinner, would that be too much lasagna?
How big are we talking? You're talking
like
about
a whole casserole dish of lasagna.
Okay, well, yeah. One. So definitely one.
Yeah, I mean, not even one. Right.
Do you not think?
I think
sorry
I would.
To piss on your daydreams.
I think I would get nearly 2 servings of lasagna in and go, this is enough. I've got to stop. Yeah. And that would be the corner of the casserole
what
dish.
What about pasta bake?
Well, the same. I mean, whatever. I couldn't eat a casserole dish of anything if you're asking. Maybe.
For real? Like a whole...
You'd have to let the lasagna go cold.
I know I could.
By the way, don't ever talk about that. All the kids are talking about cold lasagna.
Cold lasagna, yeah, don't do that, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I could eat... I mean, you could eat a casserole dish of, like, salad.
Yeah, probably.
Because, again, sometimes I don't plate up my food. This is not a good trait in a person, I understand, but I'll make a big dish or something, like, or and it'll be in the big pan, and I'll just eat it. And I think sometimes, I wonder if I've had the equivalent of a whole dish. But
well, surely you know.
Because yeah, because you're literally eating
out of the
thing.
So, like, if I've made pasta
the rest
in
of us don't have to guess, the rest of us don't have to guess that.
I'm looking at an empty
the rest
dish
of us are guessing.
I wonder if I've had an empty dish there.
The people using plates have to think, I wonder how if I've had a dish worth. If you're eating it out the dish, you know that you've had the dish.
Like, the big pot that is... maybe 20 centimetres high,
yes.
That one that
yeah.
you cook.
A pan.
Like a big,
saucepan,
big weekly
saucepan.
Meal in.
I think the pot's in centimetres, but yeah.
A big weekly meal?
You cook
big,
for a week.
Okay, how do you work? Do you cook one meal on a Monday and then eat that for the rest of the week?
No, I'll cook a meal on a Monday and a meal on a Tuesday and alternate them.
Okay.
Maybe.
But
with a little bit of a treat in between if my fiancé will cook something.
That, to me...
Yeah.
You said it as if everyone does that.
Yeah. Does not everyone do that?
That's not normal to me.
Do you make a new meal every night?
Yes.
Yeah, you want to find a hobby?
I do. Cooking.
Yeah. I mean...
I don't have the time to cook a new meal every night.
No, I really don't.
Nor
because you're
patience.
Too busy stamp collecting or whatever it is you're doing. What are you... What's your one?
I've got other things I like to do. Yeah. I'm now thinking of those things, and I could cook because it's usually things like watching Only Connect or
What you're describing is almost like a sort of Steve Jobs type thing that he could only wear. He only wore one type of outfit, so he could just didn't have to think about it. And you're cooking one meal at the beginning of the week, and you're meal prepping essentially, aren't you?
Essentially, yeah.
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 So give us an example of one of these big pots.
So chicken tikka paneer. Like, I'll make all that together, and then sometimes I like to just make it into a pie at the last minute. Just Bob.
Last minute.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, it's
already...
It's
the first appearance of the word Bob
on
the podcast.
Yeah,
here we go. So it's like a... Like, you've already
strapping,
got...
she says it a lot.
You've already got chicken, spinach, paneer, all of that. It's lovely, yeah. And you can eat it like in a bowl or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I just think, you know, there's enough here, and I'll put some pastry over it.
Sounds lovely.
You don't have to say put some pastry if you don't want
to. Can't bob some pastry. Yeah.
Don't feel like you need to change just because Ed's flagged it up.
It's a thing, Bob. If you bob some pastry on.
But by the end of the week, you're not bored of it?
No, because I know there's a new week next week. That's the fun of life.
Well, imagine that feeling every day.
Still or sparkling water?
Oh, still every time. Still every time. Sparkling water. I listen to this podcast, and it's interesting, a lot of people's takes on this bit.
Thank you.
I think particularly Claudia Winkleman's, which still makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. But I do think sparkling water is it's a scam. I think it's not.
A scam.
Just grow up. Like, no, it's not. Water is lovely. It's refreshing, and I understand why they bring it out. And then sparkling water, it doesn't taste of, like, I think if you're going to have a fizzy drink, it needs to be like a Coke or a lemonade. Mm. It has to taste of something specific. This is just water, but carbonated, and I don't know why you do that. That's a really half-assed effort from whoever came up with it.
Why is it a scam, though?
Because they're trying to pass it off as something interesting or different.
Of it?
Well, no, obviously, like, I don't think anyone's making money from sparkling water.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the scam, I guess.
That's the scam.
Is all these water companies.
Yeah,
I didn't think I'd be coming after water this early on.
Don't let them get in your head.
But this is a bit, right, like, if you're going to sell water, grand, Evian, fine, crack on.
Yeah.
What I find annoying is when they then try and carbonate it and pass that off as a whole new drink. No, what you're selling there is dull lemonade.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's lemonade and you've forgotten to add a crucial ingredient.
Lemon.
Listen, I've watched Only Connect. I'm ready.
So I don't watch Only Connect because the host offended me once.
Did she?
Yeah, she came on this podcast and really threw her weight around.
Oh, really?
is that not a term?
No, I really like it. It's just usually used for sort of much more, I would describe, alpha male type people.
Yeah. Do
you think Victoria Coren Mitchell is an alpha male?
She's an alpha.
Oh, she's absolutely an alpha. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got to be with poker, haven't you?
Yeah.
Maybe
she just got in your head as a poker.
She did. She showed me who's boss. So I can't watch Only Connect because I just, you know, feel instantly inferior.
It's one of them where I give myself a point if I understand the question.
Yeah.
See, also, University Challenge.
It's ever a question on there that's like, if you sit down and eat a casserole dish full of lasagna, how many casserole dishes have you ate?
Right, no, that was me wording it incorrectly. I know what I meant there.
Maisie loves quizzes. She's really good.
Oh, don't you dare.
Huh? Well, what's coming up here?
She's really good at quizzes. Did you not know this?
I didn't know you're good at quizzes.
I'll have you know, just before he gets in with this,
yes?
I have won Richard Osman's House of Games.
That's good.
Right? So I'm all right at some quizzes.
You're in good company. We have as well.
Yeah, we both won it. Maisie, before she was a comedian...
I'm so close to walking out.
Was on The Chase.
Oh, really, Maisie? That's pretty cool.
Mm.
Do you want to tell James what happened?
I took the minus offer, which was minus £3,000. Because I did quite badly in the cash builder. And I was against Paul Sinner.
Yeah, the Cineman.
And he offered me minus £3,000. And the lady before
he must have known you were a new comedian.
The lady before me, this woman called Mary, she'd gone for the higher offer. And so she'd already bagged 54K. So I thought, I'll just take the lower offer, it'd be easier. We'll still have lots of money. So I took the lower offer and still lost. Still lost.
Yeah.
Was the only person that didn't make it through to the last bit. So just had to sit. You just have to sit at the side with the adjudicators and watch everyone else do the last round. And what was really annoying is they got it down to the last like 1 second, and it was a question on Little Mix, and they didn't get it right, and I knew.
You would have known.
Had I been in that cash builder, we'd have been splitting 54K between us. Can I tell you the best bit about that? The woman before me,
Mary.
She,
how do you know that?
I said, Mary, she won 54K.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I wasn't listening.
It's all right, James, it's okay.
Sorry.
And she won 54K, and Bradley Walsh went, Mary, what would you do if you won all that money today?
Yeah.
And she said, she was like in her mid-50s, I would say. Sorry, Mary, if you're listening, but maybe even early 60s. And she went, She went, oh, I'd really love to take my mum to see these. We love monkeys, and I'd love to see these. She said, like, this specific species of monkey.
Yeah.
She was like, and we'd love to see those monkeys. And I was thinking, all right, yeah, where would that be? You know, maybe, like, somewhere far in the world. And then she went, oh, where'd you go to see them? She went, Dudley Safari Park.
Fucking hell, Mary. Take your mum anyway.
She'd run 54K. She'd take her mum to Dudley.
In a stretch limo.
Make it rain all over the monkeys. Yeah. Doesn't poke up the sunroof.
Big, big spending spree in the gift shop of Dudley Safari Park. Get yourself a shatterproof ruler.
Yeah. Right, pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, still war.
Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms every time. Poppadoms.
Really?
Poppadoms. Yeah.
Emphatic.
Yeah, 100%. Bread's boring.
What?
Bread's boring. Sorry.
What?
It is boring, especially in a restaurant, because they don't bring it. Often they bring it with a little bowl of butter that's way too hard.
Mm.
You can't toast it. You can't. They don't bring an interesting bread. They never bring a tiger roll over, do they? They just bring some like sliced up, run of the mill bread. Poppadoms, however, they come with a selection of dips and chutneys, and it's just I love it. I really love a poppadom. My local Indian takeaway is very, very nice. It does the, like what I think is the best curry. But when I first moved to that area, I went round to go and order, and there was nobody behind the desk, but there was the TV on in the entrance bit, and it was playing really, really well. Not it's all of this is obvious, but it was playing porn on the telly. So. It was just me in this room, stood behind the counter, and there's no bell to ring, so I was just stood in this very small room with a telly on playing porn.
So it was just... Like a telly in the corner of the
table. Yeah, just a man going to town on this woman. And she was very vocal.
Yeah.
So it was that was the only sound, and I was just sort of stood there. I didn't know whether to look at my phone or to watch the porn.
You gotta watch
the
weed.
Yeah. No point watching porn on your phone, Maisie. It's on the TV.
But then he appeared from the back. From the no,
same guy.
The man
the guy from
the back
film.
Of the restaurant.
The guy from the film. Are you enjoying
the show?
Owns the place. You enjoying my work?
Is my show real?
Put your clothes on and come through and have some food. You're not the first, you won't be the last.
So he came... he came from the kitchen, stood behind, and then I felt like I was wrong because I felt like he'd come into the room where porn was on and I was there.
Yeah.
So it's so like you'd put the porn on in a way.
I felt the need to be like, I didn't put that on.
You said that?
Yeah.
Then
he knows.
And then he went, neither did I, but he looked very, very embarrassed.
Of course he did.
And then I had to make a decision then. Well, not then, I should have really made it earlier, but whether or not to still order a curry from this place that had been showcasing porn in their entrance.
That if I walked into a takeaway and there was porn on the telly, I'm leaving immediately.
Yeah, it's a U-turn, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing, I'd had a curry from there before and it was really good. Right. So I was trying to weigh up whilst this woman was enjoying herself. And it's quite hard to have a dilemma when it's against the backdrop of very loud orgasms.
Mm.
But I was trying to think, how good was that curry? And do I really want to still get it from here? And then I didn't really have time to make my decision because then the man appeared. And so then I just went, oh, I didn't put it on. He went, no, me neither. And then I just went, all right, chicken passanda, please.
You know what you should have said?
What?
You should have said, I'll have what she's having.
Oh, I should have. I could have had my own little...
Yeah.
But instead you went moment. With, I didn't put that on.
I didn't put that on.
Chicken panier, please.
Or a chicken korma.
Also, it sounds like what's happened, if he didn't put it on either, that someone... someone really bad a chicken korma over there, giving a thumbs up to Benito.
Thinking, I didn't want to go with that, or chicken tikka masala.
Any more?
We'll do it later.
Okay.
You're doing a vindaloo one?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, do you mean vindaloo?
It's got a new sound at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably a pop of the cherry dom.
Yeah. Chicken bragi.
Come on.
Chicken bragi.
Too much now. Horrendous.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What I think happened is I think someone else went there, got a curry. On their way out, they noticed that the TV is just, you can change the channel yourself.
And they just went straight
and just
to the pond.
Bam, 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 bam. That's funny. And they went home.
I hope so. Yeah. That sits better with me.
And then you turned up.
Rather than...
Watched it.
But what telly would have it?
I don't think it was Freeview TV. From the performance this woman was giving, I don't think it was...
It was proper.
I think there's a paid subscription going on somewhere.
Oh, really?
And that's what was quite unnerving. Watching this and then just thought, right, better go and make some korma sauce.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sit well.
Was it like Channel... It wasn't like Channel 5...
No, it wasn't like saucy stuff. What's that one that used to be on late at night? When you sex cetera wasn't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it wasn't like Eurotrash or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like proper, like yeah. You could see.
Do you remember sex cetera?
No, I don't think I remember.
Do you remember sex cetera? Nobody else remember it.
No.
Oh.
Here we go.
No, just the like story sometimes. Number two. Sometimes yeah. When you'd go through
turns
the channels
out you did put it on.
Late at night, there'd be quite erotic stuff on just a Freeview channel, and it was on a show called Sex Cetera. But I didn't watch it. I just
no.
I'd
no.
Carry,
you
no,
didn't put it on.
No.
I didn't watch it either, hence why I know nothing about it. But you...
I don't like that. I feel like I've not even got to my dinner and already the image I'm giving out is somebody who watches a heap of porn with a big casserole dish.
Yeah. Just straight out. You took the curry off him, straight out the pot.
Yeah.
You're like, don't bother with the foil thing. Bring the pan out. Leave this on. Turn it out.
Leave it on. Turn it up. I went out in the chase, do you know?
So, poppadoms was the answer.
poppadoms and you would like
and porn.
Porn on?
No porn, thank you.
Okay. Up to you.
No porn in my poppadoms, thanks.
Not in it.
In
no,
it. That would be a real shock.
Porn in poppadoms.
They brought the poppadoms out in that place and there was like, he'd somehow fried a bit of porn in the middle of the poppadom.
When you crack it open, it makes a little noise.
Yeah. That would be so disconcerting.
That's not what...
Oh. Went to an Indian restaurant and you do the thing where you smash the poppadoms in the middle and goes... Oh.
See, that's not...
You're like, oh,
when
guys,
you said poured in the poppadoms, that's not what I thought. That's even more whimsical than... I thought poured in the poppadoms.
What would you
literally...
do if that happened?
What, if you...
If you're with friends...
If every time
if you
smash the poppadoms, they make an orgasm now.
Would you leave the restaurant?
A work party. Yeah. Just, should we get poppadoms for the table?
That's Maisie's orgasm noise. Edward's very like Maisie.
The clarinet.
Mine was the same sound when I got knocked out the chase.
Oh, she liked that.
She loved it.
Just sat at the back of the studio with the adjudicators. Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
So, poppadoms.
Yes, please.
Dream starter.
Okay. I'm going to go for breaded brie.
Okay.
But it has to be from the pub from my village. Which we
the
went
dip?
To. I thought you might bring this up.
Maisie grew up in
no,
a dip.
I didn't.
This... How do you know so much about Maisie?
Because
we've worked together
done
a lot.
Few Mock the Weeks together.
Oh, yeah.
When I say Mock the Weeks, Ed's ridiculed me every time I've gone on Mock the Week.
People listening to this will want to hear about the dip because Maisie grew up in a big dip.
But okay. I happened to say in passing on one episode of Mock the Week that where my village was when I grew up, we were talking about icy conditions. And I said,
"Where
I
grew up." Not the pick the story.
Biggest story of the week.
Black
icy conditions. What have you got?
But my village is in. I said, when I grew up, my village was in a dip. That's all I said.
Yes.
Because there's the roads in and out both go down, and the village is at the bottom.
Red rag to a bull. I'm not the week that you say
well,
you're living
I know
a dip.
That now. And
bloodthirsty.
Ed just said you've never sounded more northern than saying where I grew up. And he did his Johnny Vegas voice.
Yeah.
I grew up in a dip.
Tut dip.
Tut dip.
Yeah, of course.
But it's true. It's imagine the village that they live in on this country or Vicar of Dibley. That's sort of...
Dibley.
Did you see, Maisie? I tried to be serious there. I I was like,
this
listening
is going to be
and...
the bane. No, you don't know what else is coming on, like for me, other courses. So I'm dreading this.
Has the dip become a thing?
Yeah,
people
online. I can't tweet anything without people going like, oh, like I'll announce a tour and they'll go, oh, it's nice that you're getting out the dip.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty proud of that.
But it's like, it's like 100 people every tweet.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just a lot. It's just a lot of dips.
It's a lot, isn't it?
A lot of dips. But it's a very.
You can cut this out because it was all on Mock the Week, but James might enjoy it. There was a lady who lived in the dip called 10 to 2 because every time she walked down the dip, she had to put her feet at 10 to 2 so she didn't fall down the dip.
Right. Yeah. Take that out.
She walks with her feet like that and she says it out loud. That's why she got given the nickname in the village 10 to 2 because she wears a little headscarf and she walks up and down on when it's wintery and she goes 10 to 2, 10 to 2, 10 to 2. And I just thought that was funny, but what carried on was the dip, really.
I feel like I'm rejoining social media.
But yeah, this one pub, it's called the Black Swan, and like growing up, we would always go. Me and my friends, like we all went to the same school, and then like we'd get the school bus from this village, and then on Monday nights they'd do a pub quiz at the Black Swan. And we'd always go there. And they gave out...
That,
yeah, exactly. I just thought, start early. Maybe one day you'll end up on the chase. They gave out free chips. They'd bring a bowl of chips to each table for free.
Wow.
But because we were all like 15, 16, we never bought a drink. We were those people. We'd book a table for 10, pay £1 to join the quiz, and then repeatedly go up to the bar and pour ourselves a glass of water. They definitely made a loss on us coming to the quiz every week. But we loved it, and it was a really nice pub. It was run by this guy who lived in the village. Just a really lovely thing. And then my grandparents, whenever they took us out as well, we'd always go here, and they did breaded brie as a starter. I mean, beautiful. You know when it's like dead crusty on the outside, lovely and gooey on the inside, cranberry sauce, little bit of salad with... balsamic vinegar, lovely. Oh, big open fire.
Yeah.
Like log fire. Yeah. Like not.
You got to eat that fast.
Yeah, that's
it. If you're in front of the log fire with the breaded brie.
Yeah.
That's going to melt.
Yeah.
That's what you want though. You want it all like melty, don't you?
Yeah.
You want it gooey.
Yeah.
You want it gooey. I love it, breaded brie. I love any cheese, but if it's breaded.
I know what you mean. I've not had it in ages. It's weird that it's sort of... Because it's quite European, really, isn't it?
Is it?
But it's sort of, well, it's brie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like brie and it feels quite fancy.
Yeah.
But it's made its way onto...
Well, you know what's
classic.
Overtaken it recently? Box-baked camembert. That's the cheese starter now, isn't it, in pubs.
Yeah.
That's the very popular one. Mm-hmm. But I think baked brie, can't go wrong there.
This cranberry sauce, is it like drizzled over the brie?
No. Big dollop on the side.
Big dollop on the side.
Yeah, so that you can... I don't like stuff like that. Like, you know, ketchup on chip. When people go all over, I think...
You like it on the side, so then you...
Yes, so that I can bob the chips in.
Yeah.
Bob the chips in.
Yeah. This is the first dream meal we've had at a pub quiz. Like, who's there? Who's on your team?
Right. Heather Jackson. Very, very... she was one of them kids that, like, didn't have to revise but did anyway and, like, got A stars all the time. She was just like a child prodigy.
Yeah.
Whereas I could revise till... Like, well, I could still be revising now and I'd still come out with a C. She was probably our, like, best player.
Uh-huh.
You know, if there was a question we didn't understand, we'd go to Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Shermer, best friend for many years now, probably the most laddie.
Yeah.
Anything on football. Cricket.
But you know your football as well.
Yeah, but he, yeah.
You're football crazy.
Football crazy. Yeah. That's me, football crazy basic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pitch. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
And then there was quite a few of us, to be honest, and a few would come and go. It was Max Fairhurst, Susanna Thornton, Craig Dennison, first one to get a car. Yeah.
Yeah, Dennison.
So you'd put like 7 of us into a Vauxhall Corsa sometimes to go to the pub.
Yeah.
Even though it was a 5-minute walk from every house in the village.
Yeah, but when your mate gets a car, right? No matter where the place is,
no,
it's 100%, like, getting in the car.
100%.
Yeah.
Drive the long way round.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
back, go up onto the A road to come back into the village.
Oh, when you said the long way round, I thought you meant the rim of the dip or something.
The rim of the dip, which was actually the name of the film being played. In the curry house, the rim of the dip. Oh, that's the other thing. All those names I've mentioned, they all worked at the Black Swan some point in there. No, I didn't.
Only one?
No. I worked at a golf club as a waitress for £3.50 an hour.
Oof.
And then I spilt a gravy boat on a bride. Yeah. I had to leave.
I came out of nowhere.
Yeah, there was a wedding like reception, and I had to take the thingy over, and I could feel it going off the tray. So then I went to catch the gravy boat, and the gravy boat was hot, so I let go.
Yeah,
I went over this lady's dress.
So you probably, if anything, redirected the gravy boat towards the bride.
I think actually, had I not intervened, it could have missed.
It would have hit like.
But it was already falling, and I sort of batted it into her.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Probably didn't help that, you know, you'd spent most of your time ranting against plates as well. So, like, clearly, we know that Maisie doesn't believe in plates. She's putting gravy straight on brides now.
Screaming at the bride, don't put that on your meat. You'll only spill it anyway, put it straight onto your top. Cut out the middle, man.
Oh. Well, how did the bride react?
Yeah, she wasn't happy. No. She wasn't happy. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. So I didn't do any more waitressing after that. I went to work in retail.
They still talk about that, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I know. It's like such a big day for somebody, isn't it? And then, like, yeah.
Every time they remember their wedding day, they'll go, and that fucking waitress spilt fucking gravy all over my dress.
Yeah. Sort of batted it, really. Forehanded it into her.
Football crazy gravy Maisie.
Oh,
there you go.
There we go.
Straight to CBBC with that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Your dream main course, Maisie.
My dream main course. I've actually brought something in for you, lads.
Wow. This is genuinely rare. Here we go.
Didn't know this was going to happen.
Hang on. Because my main course is...
Oh, boy.
Granny's braising steak.
Okay.
Obviously, we've got questions because everyone can't see what you've just... Well, everyone can't see what you've just revealed.
I should...
A written down recipe, but the recipe is framed.
It's framed because it hangs on my wall.
Yes.
I think this is lovely.
Yeah, it is lovely.
If you're rude about this, you've got a problem with Muriel.
Oh, listen, I think it's lovely. I haven't got a problem with Muriel. I am going to make fun of it.
Okay. What are you going to make
fun of?
You've got a recipe frame that you put on your wall.
I was really chuffed because it's the right size frame. They're hard to find.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, it's sweet. The whole thing's lovely.
Listen, she's underlined key bits of the recipe.
Water bay leaf.
Yeah. Water bay leaf and bouquet garni. I didn't know what bouquet garni was.
Oh. May I ask, is Muriel still with us?
Yes.
Okay, then it's weirder that you framed it.
Yeah. Why is it weirder? She lives still up in the village.
Yeah,
in the dip. So it's not up in the dip, is it?
Yeah.
How far
up the dip does she live?
She's right at the bottom.
Oh.
Right at the bottom.
Dear. Yeah.
No, it gets better the deeper you go.
Does it?
Yeah.
Does not everyone's sewage drain?
Also,
a line
from the film in the curry house gets better the deeper you go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'd imagine living in the bottom of the dip is worse, though, isn't it?
No.
All the rainwater, all the sewage and stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is a problem in the. I feel. Yeah.
That is genuinely a problem.
It's a problem. We do have bad flooding, but Granny's braising steak. I feel like braising steak comes up a lot, like as a main. You know, it can be quite run of the mill, but my Granny's braising steak is something else. I will say this. She insists that you go and get your ingredients from Morrison's, and I quote, because she likes to support local businesses.
That's great.
She likes to go to Morrison's, and she says, because she likes Ken. And I didn't know who Ken was. Yeah. I had to look it up. Ken Morrison. She thinks it's a man. Ken Morrison, no. Who's done a few good, big, like, he's branched out.
Yeah.
But I think she thinks yeah. he's a guy who's done well in Yorkshire and has got a few.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Do we have Morrisons down south?
Yeah, there's Morrisons down here, but it feels like a northern thing.
Yeah, they're definitely more common up north. Yeah.
Ken Morrison.
Was it started by a guy called Ken Morrison?
Yep. Yeah. Duncan Morrison, CBE.
She likes to support Ken, is what she says.
Dead now.
So he doesn't need the support.
He's dead. Was an English businessman, life president, and former chairman of Morrison's, the fourth largest supermarket in the United Kingdom.
Support local business.
He was the son of William Morrison, who founded the company.
Right.
Spouses unknown. Divorced. Edna Morrison, until 1993. Also dead. She died.
Yeah.
Lynn Lady Morrison.
Wait, that order. Lynn until Lady Morrison, died. Not Lady Lynn. Lynn Lady.
Lynn, comma, Lady Morrison.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
I don't think her middle name's Lady.
Well, Lynn Lady Morrison is what it says.
Lynn Lady.
Lynn Lady Morrison.
Well, guess how many kids Ken Morrison had?
Oh, is it more than five?
It's five.
Oh. That's the end of that game.
That's fun. Imagine if that was the question on the chase. I'd have been walking to Monkey World.
Relatives, Chris Blundell, nephew.
Who's Chris Blundell?
It's his nephew. He's Ken Morrison's nephew, Chris Blundell.
How much are we going to focus on Ken Morrison?
Well, quite a bit, because I didn't know he existed.
You're fascinated,
there's
aren't
a
you?
Lot. There's a lot written about him. Well, there's enough, you know, it's pretty fun. You can carry on talking about the brain steak if you want, but...
Well, I just think I deliberately feel like you have to go to Morrison's just because that's what Muriel says.
Yes, if Muriel says that, it's part of the recipe.
A lot of the stuff that she recommends here, you can get in other supermarkets. Sure. Like Henderson's relish. She's also incredibly vague Hendo's. On a lot of stuff. Good-sized onion. What's a good-sized onion?
I know what she means. Not
handful,
a little one.
Handful of mixed veg. Have you seen the size of Muriel's hands?
No.
Very small. Oh, okay. No, she's 5'6", but massive hands.
It would be confusing. The handful would be confusing if she had one huge hand and one tiny hand.
Like a foam finger.
Yeah. Like a gladiator's hand.
But this is one of her dishes that she does... Like, whenever we all go round, I can smell it now when you walk through the front door. She does it in a big, big dish like this, and it takes ages. She cooks it for hours.
Does it say on the recipe how long to cook it, or is this all on instinct as well?
It's all Henderson's relish. It's what I'm interested with, Hendo's.
Cover with foil and cook for 4 to 4.5 hours. Remove bay leaf and bouquet garni before serving.
Yes. Now, Maisie, I've got to ask, because you've asked Muriel to send you that recipe and you framed it.
Yeah.
Do you cook the braising steak?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
It still doesn't taste exactly like Muriel's.
Yeah.
She crucially, I love my granny, but she didn't put it in steps. It's all one big paragraph on how to cook what is essentially a whole day.
Because this is just this isn't. She's not copying this down from a cookbook. This has just come straight from her brain, right?
Yeah, I know. But come on, Muriel, put like step one, step two, step three. Nigella does.
It is one stream of consciousness. Here.
It is, isn't it? She's just free flowing. I imagine her sat like Shakespeare, just writing away at a little table.
Oh, I see. That says nor butter, nor.
Yeah, nor stock pot.
The stock pot. Yeah. In the roof of boiling water.
She's not just written it in her accent.
No stock pot. Whatever you do, no. Also, my family's massive, numbers-wise. But there's a lot of us. So this is a great meal that she does whenever we're all together.
I love this. This is my favourite sort of thing to cook.
Fan of the frame?
The frame's nice. I like that.
Just checking out
Muriel's
the frame
written serves two at the top.
Serves two. It doesn't. That's a very northern woman thing to put. There's at least five portions in there.
Yeah, great.
Maybe that's what... She lives on her own as well, so maybe that's where I get the whole thing of, like, cooking a massive meal.
And eating out of the pan.
I don't think Muriel eats out the pan.
It doesn't sound like Muriel would eat out of the pan.
No
one called Muriel.
I don't think you can be called Muriel and eat out of the pan.
No one called Muriel has ever eaten out of a pan.
Heat tablespoon of oil in frying pan. Yeah. And when showing faint haze. Brown the steak. What's the faint haze?
Yeah, I know. I still haven't mastered that.
You know when you look at the air around heat and it's just slightly sort of like a faint haze?
Like an oasis.
That's never been in
a
recipe.
Faint haze.
A faint haze. That's so poetic.
You would not believe the amount of times I find myself squatting in front of the oven trying to find this faint haze arise. I can never get it. I think it might be something wrong with her.
I think it's instinct. Basically, she cooks on instinct, and she's trying to put that down into a recipe.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because what she really wants to say there is heat the oil until it's ready.
Yes.
But she's had to go, what can Maisie look out for? Faint, yeah. I guess there's a faint haze.
She's going to need every bit of help.
Really
she can
spelling
get.
Out for her.
Maisie, you'll need a plate. Yeah. Get a plate.
Oh, already off to a bad start, were you?
So, no, this is my thing. Because it's the dream restaurant, I'd like this braising steak. However, I don't want it on a plate, of course. I would like it. Last year, I was lucky enough to go on holiday with my fiancé. We went to Berlin and Prague.
Nice.
It was where we got engaged, actually, in Prague. And there, they had this thing, goulash.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It changed my life. It was the best thing ever. Uh-huh. It was the best thing ever because it's a good, hearty meal and the plate is basically bread. Like, it's all... Yeah. It's like a bread bowl. It's in this lovely crusty bread. Then they slice the top off, like a little lid.
Yeah.
And you take it off and all it's all in there. So I would like my granny's braising steak within...
A bread bowl.
This crusty bread. Yeah. You know when I said earlier, like, bread's dull?
Yes.
It's not if it's got something in it.
It's sure. useful.
If it's yeah. used. Yeah.
A meal.
It was amazing. It was, listeners
could be in the room... To see your face when you said goulash.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was like you were the first person to ever have goulash.
Yeah.
I'd never. Have you had goulash before?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the way you said it to us, it was like you were literally you had landed in Heathrow back from your holiday. You were walking through. Yeah. You know, still got your luggage, and you're telling people about what you've had. The other thing. Goulash, it's called goulash.
You're like Sir Walter Raleigh with the potatoes.
Honestly, I took photos of it and put it in my family WhatsApp group, being like,
a photogenic meal.
No, it's not.
No,
my dad was like, "What's that?" I was like, "It's gorgeous. It's goulash. Yeah. It's amazing."
It's quite similar to Muriel's braising steak, I'd imagine.
That's why they didn't use
Henderson's relish, so it didn't taste the same, and there wasn't a faint haze when I took off the top bit of bread.
Couldn't get a Hendo's in Prague. Excuse me, do you have Hendo's, please? We have Liam Perrins, is that all right? You stubborn bastards.
Yeah, I was just going round Prague going, have you got a Morrison's? Where's Ken?
Where's Ken
and his local business?
Well, I can tell you where Ken is now, actually. I'll get my phone out.
He's dead.
He's dead. That's definitely it. Main meal is granny's braising steak, but within a bread
bowl. How would Muriel feel about the braising steak being in the bread bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd tell her that I'm doing this. I don't know. I think she'd be open to it. If I was able to say that it was like, I just don't think I could call it goulash and say that it was.
Well, the goulash is the stew, right? So it's not. You don't even need to introduce the notion of goulash to this. You just say you're putting the braising steak into a bread bowl.
Oh well, in that case, she'd love it because she's all about making use of things.
There you go.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very wartime.
Yeah.
Like I like that.
Yeah.
Using up. So what makes it a goulash then? It's not
the goulash
fact that it's in bread.
Is the stew rather than. What it's served in or the way it's served. I've not had goulash served in that way.
You've not had goulash.
I might be wrong.
You've not had goulash in bread.
I don't think you've had goulash in bread.
That's why I was so excited
yeah.
to tell you because it's this thing in bread and it's contained. And I had it twice when I was in Prague. I was only there for 3 days. I had it twice.
Yeah. And twice, got engaged in between.
That's why we got engaged. Yeah. We were both just absolutely euphoric.
Did he put the ring in the goulash?
Yeah. Right in the bread for you. Baked it in.
I wouldn't have found it. I'd have wolfed it down. I just thought it was amazing. And the first time I ate it by like having my goulash, spooning it out.
Yeah.
But then I was like, that's a lot of dry bread to finish at the
end. Mm.
So the next time I went into it like a pie. I cut it open and was eating it. Oh, I like a meal where you can have it different ways each time.
Two ways.
Two. But who knows? There could be more. I've only had two goulashes in my life.
How about this? You eat it like a stew out of the bowl, but then occasionally you rip a chunk of the bowl off.
Like a box-baked camembert.
Dip it in.
Yeah.
Dip it in, dip.
Stop.
Until almost. No, I genuinely didn't mean to do that. You almost eat too much of the bowl and then it sort of spills out the side and then you can start eating it with a knife
now
and fork.
Now I can't wait for my third goulash. I'm so excited. I'm going to have goulash at the wedding, defo.
Just get spilt all over you by a waitress on the way over. comes tumbling out the breath.
You look up and it was the bride from that day.
No.
Yeah, she's like, I told you, didn't I tell you? I'd get you one day.
15 years I've been training as a waitress just to get this job. I've been following you.
Enjoy your goulash, you, you motherfucker.
I've been watching you. What, you dirty girl watching the porn in the internet?
Dirty porno. Porno watching girl.
Maybe that's my wedding meal is some porn and some poppadoms, then goulash.
Yeah.
Served by a lady who's angry at me from 15 years
Lovely.
Ago.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have goulash at the wedding because I'd just spend the whole time going around all the tables going, have you had it? Isn't it amazing?
Well, welcome to Ed's wedding.
Yeah, but that's what happens at all weddings. Have you not noticed that?
I don't know. What, did you go around going, have you had the food?
That's exactly what happens at every wedding I've ever been to.
Did you have posh food at your wedding? Was there a lot of exposed
apart
plate?
From James, who came over to our table to tell us how much he enjoyed the bread.
Yeah, yeah, the bread was the best bread I've ever had.
Was there a lot of exposed plate at the wedding? Was it nice, full portions?
I don't notice that sort of stuff like you do.
How do you not notice?
Because I was just like, I'm at a wedding getting food. This is great. Oh, okay, I wasn't like, look at the amount of plate I got.
not a huge amount of exposed plate.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Good.
Best wedding food I've ever had.
That's a good review. That's all right.
That's why he was coming round, doing the rounds. I'd be like, everything good here? Okay, it's the best.
That's good waiting.
Yes!
That's good waiting.
I've just realised that it doesn't necessarily happen at every wedding ever to everyone. It happens at every wedding I go to. Because people are aware of this podcast and they're terrified that I didn't enjoy the food.
That you didn't enjoy it,
So the bride or groom will always come over and go, Ed,
did you like
how
it?
How was the food?
No, so it's goulash, definitely. Goulash.
Hold on.
No, it's not.
No, but it is.
What's your main course?
Goulash.
No.
Granny's braising steak.
Yeah.
In the goulash.
As
you want
a goulash.
The stew.
You want, no, hang on. So the goulash. Look this up, Benito. The goulash is not the bread bowl. What you want is the braising steak. In a bread bowl, surely.
You're not telling me this whole time what I've had was just stew in bread, and I've...
Yes.
Regardless of whether or not it's served in bread. So how come every time I went to order, admittedly it was only twice, but
twice to the same place.
No, I didn't. I went to different places.
Well, maybe that's how it's traditionally served in Prague.
All right, like a traditionally Prague goulash of granny's braising steak.
Okay, but the goulash...
So you have to have a stew in there as well.
But the goulash, now you're saying you want some stew, but you want to put your granny's stew on top of it.
No, my granny's braising steak is the stew.
Yes, but you do not need to introduce the word goulash into this order at all.
No, because your granny's braising steak in a bread bowl isn't a goulash.
And the bread is not goulash.
I'm not happy about this. I'm not happy about this.
The first time you had the bread bowl was when you had goulash. And we love that story.
Are you mansplaining Muriel's meal to me?
No, this is nothing to do with Muriel's meal.
So it's not goulash, my dream meal?
No. No, it's your granny's braising steak.
Even in a dream restaurant, I've got my own order
wrong.
In a
way that you've had goulash before.
Your granny's braising steak in a bread bowl.
Yeah.
But you don't want it to be turned into a goulash.
Well, what is a goulash then?
It's the stew.
Yep, right, so granny's braising steak is quite stew-like. It's very, there's a lot of liquid going on. It's not just steak.
But is it the same as the stew that you had in the bread bowl?
It tasted very much like this stew that was in the bread bowl.
So would it be, could you phone Muriel now and ask her if her braising steak is essentially a goulash?
She wouldn't know what a goulash is.
And also, they don't get reception.
Yeah, there's no way. She's going right to the top of the dipping time to answer that.
We all get one phone call.
Fucking
from
knocking over 10 to 2 on her way.
Yeah, so I think the way to describe it would be you want Muriel's braising steak served in the style of a goulash.
Yeah, so...
Style of the goulash that you had.
Yes. In the style of a Prague goulash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely. There you go.
There we go.
Muriel's braising steak in the style of a Prague goulash.
Lovely.
It's the fifth time we've had
that. Great.
Dream side dish.
Right, dream side dish. Okay, I feel like the last one, well, I thought it was high end. This is quite the other way. Yeah. Curly fries, but from the curly fries stall at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, just outside, and I hate that it's outside this, the ride, The Big Dipper.
I was crossing my fingers for that.
No, I'm really angry about this because I thought if I just say it in passing, it won't get brought up. But it's already been brought up, the dip thing.
Is that
so
a ride you enjoy or is it a bit of a busman's holiday?
Right.
Must feel like going home.
Call this a dip.
In Blackpool, Pleasure Beach, there's really good rides. So we went to Blackpool every summer as a family.
Yeah.
All of us, big group of us. There'd be like 25 of us. And we'd go to Blackpool Pleasure Beach for one of the days. And the Big Dipper is one of like the oldest roller coasters. It's still wooden. And outside it, there's a curly fry stall where they serve curly fries in a bucket and spade. Right? But the spade is a fork. So it's like a three-pronged plastic spade.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's specifically what you want on your dream meal?
Yeah. It does mean that when you've finished it, you have to walk around the theme park with a bucket. So we just look like a family of caretakers for the rest of the day. But they are the best curly fries you will ever, ever have.
Look, you're preaching to the converted about curly fries.
Curly fries are the best, aren't they?
We love them.
Yeah, I feel like there's fries, and then I would say a tier above that is sweet potato fries.
Mm. Well, really?
Mm-hmm. Not. Would you say lower than normal fries?
I'd say lower.
Depends what mood.
I'd put fries above sweet potato fries.
But I feel like my point being that fries, like people have gone different ways. You know, we had normal chips, then it was like triple cooked,
yeah,
a la Five Guys.
Yeah.
Sweet potato fries, that was a thing. Curly fries are their own league, I think.
Yeah.
So why aren't they available everywhere?
Like, yeah, I know, yeah, I know.
Should be everywhere.
When you can upgrade, usually from fries, it's to sweet potato fries, or recently, halloumi fries.
Uh-huh.
Why can't you get... Yeah, I think they're seen as quite a low-end type thing, because I only have ever had them at Blackpool Pleasure Beach and the bowling alley at people's birthday parties.
Yeah, you've only ever eaten them out of a bucket.
With a space. Yeah.
Or a bowling shoe.
Yeah. Sorry. That was your choice.
Yeah, yeah.
The Velcro can get in the way. I think they are the best type of chips. Mm. Why do they taste like that? I don't know what it is that they do.
Seasoning.
It's like Cajun seasoning,
yeah,
I think
isn't
they would
it?
Say, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
but also
lovely.
That crispiness that they get on the outside that you don't really get on a lot of
And I like the
chips.
Ones that really... You know the ones where you get one that's got like eight spirals, almost like a turkey Twizzler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
And the thing is, it's the crisp on the outside and then also... It's a bit soggy sometimes.
Oh, yeah. soggy, curly fry.
Which is frowned upon in food, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah. And any other chips, if you get a fat cook chip and it's a thick cut fry, sorry, not a fat cut chip, a thick cut fry.
Fat cut chip.
What was it, a big chip?
What are you talking about?
Thick cut chip.
Big chipper.
You know the ones I mean, that you get in like a pub with fish and chips?
Yeah.
If they're soggy... Couldn't be less interested.
Yeah.
Straight in the bin.
Yeah.
But a soggy curly fry.
Nice.
They're one of them where, like, whatever one you get, if you get the little burnt bit at the end, lovely. Long, soggy, curly one, very nice.
Yeah.
You putting any sauces on it?
Bit of ketchup, but again, at the side. And I don't really dip it as much as I normally would because...
The curly fry's doing
curly fry's doing it itself.
Thing. Yeah.
And I every time I go to Blackpool Pleasure Beach, this is bad, but sometimes when I gig in Blackpool, I'll go to the Pleasure Beach. Like,
yeah,
I'll just buy a ticket and go.
How often are you gigging in Blackpool?
You're from Brighton as well.
You've got
Brighton Pier and stuff.
Yeah, but oh,
and
yeah,
then you're
but
going
Brighton
to Blackpool
Pier,
and going on Blackpool
Brighton
Pleasure
Pier.
Beach. Okay.
I love living
Sorry.
In Brighton.
Benito, who is our resident theme park enthusiast, just looked at me like I was a piece of shit when I said that.
Why?
Really, really annoyed that I'd even compare Brighton Pier to Blackpool Pleasure Beach. He got pretty annoyed.
Oh, yeah, rides-wise,
well,
you can't compare the
two. Yeah, you've
got
to compare Pier with Pier. So if we're talking Pier, you'd compare Brighton Pier. Blackpool has three piers, the North Pier, the Central Pier, and the South Pier. South Pier is the one for the rides.
Uh-huh.
So you compare it with that, which South Pier wins every time.
Okay.
Central Pier, good for a hot chocolate, a little walk around, maybe a little arcade game. Fine. North Pier, it's like stepping back in time. It's very old. I think it's got a lot of history to it. That's nice, but it's essentially very dull.
Yeah.
Brighton Pier's nice, but the cuisine on there is very naff. It's very naff. And I've sampled it all. I've sampled the donuts, the churros, they've got a crepe. That's right. Brighton, isn't it? They've got crepes
pier.
But Blackpool Pleasure Beach, I think it's one of my favourite places in the world, genuinely.
Yeah.
I love it so much. The best thing that ever happened to me at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, there was a guy setting the world record for how many times you could ride a roller coaster.
Yeah, It's nice to see him again, isn't
Richard
it?
Richard
Yeah, here he is.
Richard.
sitting before you, doing a bit of tech work.
No, I'd know him if he walked into the room. Richard Rodriguez. I got to sit next to him on the...
Benito just nodded his head like he knew that guy's name already. Did you know him already? He knows Richard Rodriguez.
Richard Rodriguez. Right, 405 hours.
Is it Rodriguez? What is it?
It's definitely not Richard Rodriguez.
How do you say it? Rodriguez.
Yeah. Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, yeah.
All right, but there's a U in it.
Now. Yeah, no, well, that's what I'm asking, because I'm just checking.
There's a U in it.
If it's Rodriguez
so what,
or Rodriguez.
So you pronounce that as a W?
G-U-E. It's G-U-E.
Oh, Richard Rodriguez.
Yeah, Richard Rodriguez. I've always said Rodriguez.
Are you basing this off, like, the goo desserts
Listen,
and stuff?
I sat next to him. I sat next to him. He introduced himself.
He said, hello, my name's Richard Rodriguez.
I'll be honest, Richard Rodriguez couldn't speak because the windburn was so bad. I sat next to him.
What?
He'd been on this roller coaster at this point for like 3 weeks. He was, I kid you not, like the colour of a tomato, a beef tomato. And I deliberately, so when you go on the big one or the Big Dipper, if you want to ride at the front, you have to stay until you get there.
Yeah, yeah.
On this one, when I was in the queue, each time it came in, Richard Rodriguez was there and he had these gloves on. Yeah, he's got gloves to ride the roller coaster, these little like leather fingerless. Things.
Oh my God, fingers seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, I know. And he sat there and I was like, this is history. I was like 11 years old and I was like, I want to sit next to Richard Rodriguez. So it comes in and I go and sit next to him and I just thought, I've just got so many questions to ask him and he's probably had them all. But he was so red, like he had blisters all over his face.
Terrifying
from the
for
windburn.
An 11-year-old. Yeah.
Absolutely, like honestly, I was
like
so excited. And then the closer I got to him, I was really like, this is harrowing. Really, really bad.
Do you think that's what happened to Freddy Krueger?
He went
on the big
he rode
one.
The Big Dipper for 4 weeks.
Did you chat to Richard Rodriguez?
Yeah, a little bit, but he wasn't a laugh a minute. I'll be honest. Like he
sure.
I guess I was asking very trivial questions like what do you do when you need to go to the loo?
Yeah.
What do you do for it? There he is.
Is that him?
That's his look at his gloves.
There. Benito's just pulled up.
Yeah, he's in
an
American.
He's got his little gloves on exactly as you
described.
He's
got his American flag T-shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
so
looks
imagine
happy
how you
there.
Feel 3 weeks of riding that roller coaster, presumably only eating curly fries out of a bucket.
Yeah, that's
he's
the,
on
big
the big one.
One. That's
yeah,
what
yeah,
I sat next
one.
To him on. I didn't get to sit next to him on the Big Dipper, but I did.
Your family get the Big Dipper to themselves, don't they? When they get, you get treated like royalty when you turn up there. From the original.
Yeah.
Here
it's
they
so
are,
good.
Everyone, make way! We've got some people from the original!
You're like Ken walking into Morrison's.
Yeah, please. It's all yours. Get out of here, Rodriguez! This is not for you. You go on the big one.
That's Muriel's seat.
Yeah.
It was...
Muriel's sitting on there with a full braised steak on her lap.
He had a faint haze over
I
his
bet
face.
He did.
Definitely. He was red raw.
Yeah.
Red raw was red. Red raw Rodriguez.
Oh.
Red raw Richard Rodriguez.
Yeah. I love it. Have you been to Blackpool Pleasure Beach?
Yes. I've been on the big one.
I've been on the Big Dipper.
Have you been on Big Dipper? Big Dipper's good, isn't it?
I felt very sick on there.
Yeah, Big Dipper's good. Big one, very, very good. Favourite one, Grand National.
Yeah.
Two roller coasters at the set. It's wooden.
Yeah, I've been
And
on
you
that.
Race.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the best. I love it so much. Valhalla, an indoor log flume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great as well.
It's really
love
good.
That.
In the dark, you go through a ring of fire and then through a room of ice.
Never seen Benito nod so much during an episode.
It's amazing.
Just sitting there nodding. Yeah.
But yeah, I'd always go and get curly fries, usually after the bit, if you haven't before. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, Blackpool was like a huge part of growing up. We'd go for a week in August and we absolutely loved it. We'd stay in this hotel that was run by this woman called Pat Mancini.
All right, well, this is right up our street.
Yeah, obviously.
She was known as the Queen of Blackpool, right? She was like Peggy Mitchell, bright blonde hair, several shades darker fake tan than should be appropriate.
Yeah.
Like absolutely caked in gold jewellery, like head to toe. And she ran the cabaret bar. She had like Joe Longthorne there all the time, like singing away. We loved it.
Yeah.
We loved it. She had an Elvis convention once. Well, every year, but we often missed it. But it was once whilst we were there and she invited us down saying, oh, we've got one of Elvis's relatives. We're like, oh my God. So we went down. My mum bought these Elvis t-shirts off the promenade for us.
Because you were like, so excited about
it. It was peeling off after like two washes. But we went down.
Like Richard Rodriguez's face.
It was like his face. We went down and there was just like 200 people dressed as Elvis, like really well, like really good. And we were like, who's the relative? Who's the relative? And it was something like his niece's sister-in-law. It was like so far removed.
Yeah, and not a blood relative.
No,
yeah.
And all of her anecdotes about Elvis were like, oh, well, obviously I was three at the time, so I don't really remember, but my mum said that they... And it was like,
great.
Why are you it? So we had a photo with her anyway. But there was like people dressed up as Elvis who were Elvis age, but then there was like kids who were fully... coiffed hair, like hairstyled as Elvis Presley.
Early in his life, right? They weren't dressed as like
Elvis.
No,
they were dressed
as
adult. They weren't dressed as hamburger Elvis.
Yeah.
They were dressed as peak Elvis,
yeah,
but not child Elvis.
Just
they were children.
Someone dressing their kid up to look like really ill Elvis.
On a toilet.
Yeah.
They were dressed as adult peak Elvis. So there was like somebody in the. Then there was basically, this is a long way of me telling you, I had my first kiss. At an Elvis convention to a boy dressed as Elvis Presley, but he was dressed as Army Elvis, so he looked like Goose from Top Gun.
Oh, Jesus. How old were you?
I think like 8, maybe.
Well, you're going to have to tell us the whole story.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just went down with my family. We were dead excited to see this relative.
Your family were there?
Yeah, but they didn't...
You had your first kiss.
In front of my family.
But the Elvis.
We went all down to go and see the Elvises, the Elvi.
Yeah.
And we like heard a little bit about Elvis from this very tenuous relative. And then there was like lots of Elvis music and lots of dancing. And we were all giving it large. Pat Mancini, she was making sure everybody was having...
Mine, wasn't she?
Making sure everyone was topped up. It was great.
Yeah.
She's a great host. Oh, she was. God rest her soul. She was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then there were these
surprised to hear that.
There were these. I'll have you know she got an MBE, actually. There was.
For what? Preparing a 8-year-old.
I just got like dancing. We were all dancing like at a school disco to all these Elvis songs. And then I said to this lad, like, oh, what's your outfit? And he said, well, Elvis was in the army. And he told me about Elvis being in the army. And then we ended up going to play pool in the games room. And then I had a little kiss with them.
Were you wearing a T-shirt with Elvis's face on it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Why?
I think you might be the only person ever to have their first kiss wearing a T-shirt with a picture of the person that your person you're kissing is dressed as.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's quite odd.
Yeah.
But I thought it was quite sweet.
No.
I look no.
No. It's really weird and creepy.
Weird with...
Well,
I'd imagine Mancini was leering over you.
Pat Mancini
guarded the door for you both. Yeah.
Excuse
for your parents
me. No, no, no. It was very innocent. We went to go and play pool and then we had a very awkward little kiss and then went back to go
pool to having a kiss?
Just sort of like... I don't know how you flirt as an 8-year-old. I can't remember. Well, but we were just sort of very like... giggly and laughing. And
this is the thing, when I was eight
teasing
years
each
old,
other.
When I was 8 years old, I wasn't kissing anyone.
No.
Maybe I wasn't 8, maybe I was 10.
Well,
I just remember
then,
being very, very young.
Like, I was wondering how this
I was
even...
at primary school.
Right.
Yeah, well, even then, primary school, I'm not going around kissing anyone. And so, like, if
I wasn't
alone...
going, I wasn't putting it about, James. I was,
no, I'm just saying.
I had one kiss
I
to
would
a,
remember.
A lad dressed as Elvis. That was very normal.
Wondering how the lad dressed as Army Elvis made this happen.
Well, I think when you dress as Army Elvis,
yeah,
girls are going to throw themselves at you.
That's He's, what it was.
How I many will, girls do you reckon like, he kissed that night?
Yeah, probably wasn't his only.
Oh, God,
it was
no.
The ultimate like Blackpool hotel. You know when you've got somewhere that's in a time capsule in your head, and we like for every year that was our holiday.
Yeah,
and it was mad because of the people. The night porter was called Frank, and he'd bring like my mum and dad and all my aunties and uncles would stay up quite late, being like the only ones in the. In the hotel, and Frank the night porter, they go, oh, can we have some sandwiches? And he'd bring them onion sandwiches. That's what he made. So
don't give away your dessert.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So what were the onion sandwiches?
Just like raw onion in a sandwich.
Raw onion in bread.
Yeah, I don't think. People...
Oh, so goulash.
No, it was not.
He was bringing them.
No.
He brought them goulash.
No,
goulash.
It
sounds
was like white,
like goulash,
white bread with some onion. Bang, and then he'd bring that out and be like, there you go.
Mm.
It was mad.
Yeah.
But we loved Blackpool. It was amazing. It was amazing. Just off the side, this is still here. If you ever go to Blackpool, you've got to go here. Just off the side of the Queen's Hotel is, do you like ice cream?
Yes.
Right. Notriani ices. They are world famous.
Yeah.
They've been going since, I think, like just after the World War, I think, is when they've been there.
Uh-huh. The World War?
World War II, sorry.
Yes. I got bad news, Maisie.
Sorry, there was two.
Wasn't a pit Maisie up on that because I wanted to hear about ice cream, but yeah.
They only do vanilla ice cream. Only vanilla. Mm. That's the only thing you can get.
How you
but it
about
is
that?
The no, but it's no. Just go and trust me. Unlike with Granny's recipe, which I will gladly share,
yes.
They're the only people that know the recipe for this ice cream are the father and son. It's not written down anywhere either. They have to take separate planes when they go away.
Really? Vanilla ice cream?
It's James, it is that good.
Do they like toppings? And stuff?
Yeah. You've got toppings and sauces, and you can have it in different ways. Like you can have it cone, you can have it in a bowl.
Bread.
Yeah. Maybe
bread
in a bread.
Bowl.
Maybe there's a goulash.
Pocket and spade.
Yeah. Coke float, you can have that. It's really good. Notriani ice creams, you've got to go.
Well, next time I'm in Blackpool, I will go
get
there.
Curly fries from the Big Dipper and then go for ice cream from Notriani.
I'll do it. I'll have the Maisie Adam and then I'll kiss someone dressed as Elvis. An adult.
Yeah.
Your dream drink.
Okay. I don't know how you guys feel about certain flavours, right? But okay. I think there is a flavour that exists in this world that, frankly, when the person discovered this, I think you should have just, everybody should have just sat back and gone, well, we'll never get a better flavour than that.
They should have quit flavours.
Yeah, quit flavours. There is no point, that is exactly what I mean, there is no point trying to find more flavours now that we have chocolate orange. I think it's the best.
I do not think that's where we're heading
for the drink course. Because, so I love chocolate, I'll have chocolate orange.
You know this is the drink course, right?
I know it's the drink course. So my fiancé runs a cocktail bar, and he came up with this chocolate orange cocktail called, are you ready? You'll love this, a chockwork orange.
Okay. I do actually love that. Yeah,
it's the best thing I've ever tasted. It's so good. It's so good. I have had to write down on my phone what's in it.
It hasn't gone to frame just yet.
Bad luck.
How do you feel about cocktails?
I like them.
Yeah.
I always like the idea of cocktails more than I end up liking cocktails.
Okay.
Well, I have one and I'm like, I'd just rather like a glass of wine or a beer.
I see what you mean.
I like boozy cocktails. I don't want anything sweet in them, really. Oh. So, yeah, no, I already know this is not going to be up my street.
So you go for a martini, a Negroni, an old-fashioned, something that makes you pull a face.
But even like an old-fashioned is slightly too sweet for me because they use a lot of syrup in it.
Oh.
But, yeah.
I'd say I don't like the mega, mega sweet cocktails, but I do like stuff like this by the sound of things. I had one the other day that tasted exactly like just a liquid Black Forest Gatto, and that was amazing.
Oh, yeah, I've had one
but
of them.
But I also would probably more often than not have the ones Ed's describing, the more boozy ones.
Yeah.
So I'm more likely to have the boozy ones.
Okay.
But every now and again, if someone's like saying this place in particular does a good one of these, I'll have the pudding ones.
I reckon I could bring you both round. This is how confident I am in a chockwork orange.
Yeah.
You've got 1.5 ounce of vodka.
Uh-huh.
Okay, absolute vodka.
I didn't think there was any vodka in this.
3/4 ounce triple sec, 1/2 ounce of chocolate sauce, not syrup. Has to be chocolate sauce.
Uh-huh.
2 dashes of orange bitters, 2 ounces of 1/2 and 1/2, shaken up into a coupe with chocolate sauce. Chocolate powder.
Powder.
Yeah. You know.
Dust it up.
It is the best thing ever.
It doesn't sound too sweet
it's
either.
Like
obviously
drinking,
the orange is coming from the bitters and the triple
Yeah, exactly.
Sec
it's
well,
not
right?
like yeah. yeah. It is gorgeous. It's so nice.
It's like drinking what?
Drinking a chocolate orange.
A Terry's chocolate orange.
Yeah, Terry's chocolate orange. Yeah.
It's not boozy really.
Yeah, you don't drink it and go, "Oh god, I'm going to be off my face after a few of these."
But
I quite like that because then I feel like it doesn't really count. I'll have one of them and then have a boozy one.
So is that available at your fiance's cocktail bar?
Shuffle in Brighton. Yeah, very, very nice. So what happens in Shuffle, why it's called Shuffle, you go in...
Porn on the telly.
Fuck off.
Instantly. All the ships are like, Say they pass Brighton stopping.
Oh, God, there's a ship in the way.
Oh, yeah. When
someone's in the way.
When I'm in the bedroom, I sound like Boaty McBoaty Face. So you go in and, like, you pick the songs that play, like a jukebox,
yeah.
but off, like, your, yeah. everybody's phone connects to it. So you pick what's
great.
Played there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a whole, like, load of different music and stuff. But it's cocktail bar. But a Chalkwork Orange has genuinely changed my life.
And did you meet your fellow? Was it
in the bar?
In
yeah.
the bar?
Yeah. I went in with my friends. I'd not been living in Brighton too long. They'd come down to sort of see what Brighton was all about, see how it compared to the Div. And I'd put a song on and it hadn't come on. And he came over to say, like, oh, how's your night going, as he was clearing the glasses. And I'd had a few, I'll be honest. Yeah. I'd had a few G&Ts. And
that's why you're in the cocktail bar.
Yeah.
Gin and tonic, please.
Gin and tonic.
Are you telling me you mixed the gin with the tonic?
Stop
Keep
it.
The G&Ts coming.
No, but the G was for goulash.
Yeah,
it was goulash and tonic.
Goulash and toast.
But I sort of kicked off about the fact that my song hadn't come on. He went, well, what song was it? And it was a Rolling Stones song. And he went, well, that's why it's not come on then. Really right. sassy.
Wow.
Sassy. He then walked over and put Cher on. So I thought, I'll be honest, I thought, I'm barking up the wrong tree. So, but then we just started, like, sort of chatting, and then we went out for drinks a few days later. So but that's how we met there. And then the Chalkwork Orange was like, yeah, that's...
Is he making those at home for you as well?
Oh, I had a great lockdown. Yeah. Just, it's a lot of, I've just made this cocktail. Can you tell me if it's any good?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, unless it tastes like kerosene, it's a big yes.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, make another one.
You got some other favourites you want to shout out from the shuffle menu?
They do a jam donut.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Have you had them?
Well, I haven't had a jam donut cocktail, but in Brighton, I've been to a ice cream parlour.
Yeah.
That does a jam donut ice cream that was insanely good. I think it's called JoJo's or something.
The Boho Gelato.
Maybe, yeah. Boho Gelato.
In Brighton,
So,
like, it's
the
so good.
Jam donut one was like...
Yeah.
As you said, like, about the cocktail, so it's like literally like... It just tastes exactly like a jam donut, but all of the good, nice textures of ice cream.
Yeah.
I've had a birthday
cake
gelato at Boho Gelato as well. It's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. He did a really good one called a Cardi Beach, which was nice. Yeah. I'll be honest.
It starts with a name.
Sometimes I'm responsible for the names. Right. I don't think that's helpful to the business. Al Pacino, which is like an espresso martini, but it's done with tuaca. Have you had tuaca?
No.
So it's a spirit. Tuaca. I barely knew her. Tuaca is it's a spirit that's like Brighton's really famous for. Somebody brought over that. It's really, it's very strong. It'll have you on the floor after like 3-4 shots.
Great.
Uh-huh. But it's really lovely.
It's quite a lot of shots of anything there, really.
Well, yeah, but as in, like, you
tell
will
you what,
be...
Your neck out of a bottle of it, it'll have you on the floor.
Yeah, a whole casserole dish of it. Absolutely destroys you. So that leads us nicely onto your dessert, which we've had a nice puddingy drink.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good about this. I think it's going to be a puddingy pudding.
As I've said, there's never enough chocolate orange. So my dessert is...
But this is good. I like this because the drink is a sort of bridging thing
that's
into the dessert.
Ed,
if you're
that's
pairing
it.
The flavours, this is nice.
That's
it's a good
it.
Idea, amazing.
And I adore chocolate orange with every fibre of my being. I don't think you can ever have enough.
Is it going to be... Just a Terry's
it's not a Terry's
orange.
Chocolate orange.
Well, when did your love affair with chocolate orange start?
As a kid, I always got a Terry's chocolate orange for Christmas.
Yeah.
My mum would get me one in my stocking. I loved it. And it was around the time as well that Dawn French was doing the adverts of Don't Tap It, Whack It. And
it's
I loved her.
It's not Terry's, it's mine.
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah. And I loved all of that stuff of, like, she was quite... I loved Vicar of Dibley when I was little, like, watching all of that. So,
I can't believe you even mentioned it.
I know. I'm just walking into the fire.
Yeah.
But I just adore it. I like as well, as a kid, something that comes presented like that as an orange, and it's all, and it's really distinctive square. But you know, when my mum would wrap it and then put it in the stocking, and I knew straight away. I just love it. I love the what you call, I guess, the core.
Yeah.
Oh, the cores.
The core. They should sell a bag of the cores.
They should sell a bag of
the
cores.
Do they not do that?
Yeah. And get the cores to do the advert.
Oh, yeah.
Not Jim.
Write this down. No.
Not Jim.
No, not Jim.
But like the rest of them. Oh, I'd buy a bag of Terry's chocolate orange cores.
They're so good, aren't they?
Hey, is a good idea.
Yeah.
For a new cocktail. Gin core. right?
Mm-hmm. Gin,
gin and the core of a Terry's chocolate orange.
Yeah. Oh, it's the garnish.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you just stick that in.
Yeah.
Like
tell your boyfriend that.
Tell your boyfriend
stick
that.
With an olive in. She'd go, yeah. My dessert though is going to be chocolate orange. So my fiance Mike, his mum Diane does every Christmas for me a chocolate orange cheesecake.
Right.
And beautiful biscuit base. Maybe I would say 35% base.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's quite, and then 65% cheesecake, and then on the top, Maltesers.
Whoa, I didn't see the Maltesers coming.
I like it.
Okay, good.
I think it would work, yes.
Yeah. It's curveball, but just let it sit with you for a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's
I would almost expect a slice of Terry's chocolate orange on the top.
Yeah, almost.
Well, that's what you'd expect. That's when you go to, like, bakeries. That's happened a lot recently. I see a lot of brownies. They go, oh, Terry's chocolate orange brownies. And it's just a brownie with a segment on.
It's almost too
on.
Hard or denser the chocolate to put on
it
a brownie
is.
Or something.
It is. That's also why I like Terry's chocolate orange, is the segments are in the shape of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
You put a segment just in your mouth. It's fit. It's just,
but
it's
not
a match
the shape,
made
but
in
everything
heaven.
You can just put in your
no,
mouth.
No, but you know what I mean.
What I mean, but Benito's laughing because it's the stupidest thing he's ever heard.
No, it's, you know what I mean, right? Because it's
you can't
curved,
just keep saying that.
Curved and flat, right?
So like your mouth.
Yes, genuinely. So you put it like behind your teeth on your tongue and it's the perfect fit. It's like a jigsaw. It just, like a chocolate retainer. That's what I do. I put it behind my teeth.
And just let it melt?
Yeah.
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 You're not convinced, are you?
I'm not convinced it's the exact same shape as your mouth. No. I mean, that you put it in and it just fits perfectly.
I think any bit of chocolate, you can just put
toy.
In your mouth.
No, right. You know that novelty toy where you wind up a set of teeth?
Yeah.
And they go across a table?
Like
if you think this is making your point clearer,
but
it's not.
Think of the shape of the teeth, right? It's like a horseshoe, isn't it? Like that.
Of the fake teeth.
Yeah.
The toy.
But that
toy
is
teeth.
No. But that is what your if you took your teeth out of your face,
they would look exactly like a toy shop.
All right. Well, when you look
a joke shop.
I know that this is true. When you look at, like, say, a skeleton.
Yeah.
And you go behind, like, where the teeth are. It is like
you
that
look
toy.
At it and go,
it's a horseshoe.
Fit a Terry chocolate orange. I think I could fit a segment of Terry chocolate orange in that skeleton.
I do think that.
Yeah.
It's a horseshoe shape, and you can put a segment perfectly in there. So that's what I like about it, is you just bob it in.
But
Terry's chocolate orange slice is not the shape of a horseshoe.
No, but one segment is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's curved. Curved like that. Like a half circle, semicircle.
Never have I seen a horse clip-clopping around and thought, replace that shoe with a Terry's chocolate orange.
Like for like.
Like for like.
I know what I mean, and
what
I promise you, people listening to this will know what I mean.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean, but, like, also, I don't see how that's more that's nicer to eat.
I know what you mean in that it's satisfying to eat it because of the shape.
Right, because it fits in your mouth.
Same reason, this happened last night. My wife said she likes eating After Eights and pretending she's putting a CD. a CD in.
Yeah, great.
Right?
Yeah, but like After Eights are square.
Your
tongue isn't square. And the
CDs aren't square.
The direction of it's more like a floppy disk, isn't it?
A floppy disk,
yeah.
Which I think, actually, knowing your wife, that would be more up her street. Would be like an Amiga,
Yeah. Or like old PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Put it in there. Yeah.
I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Please
and then
do.
Ask her if she can imagine a chocolate orange segment being the shape of your mouth.
And you know what? She'll say yes, I can,
because
she's odd as well.
Yeah.
No, because she
same wavelength. That's why Ed gets on with you.
Yeah.
This is
I can play this sport.
No, it's a thing. There's definitely the shape of an anyway.
Chocolate orange cheesecake.
Yes. Of which segments don't feature.
Yeah.
Maltesers on the top. It's beautiful. It's really nice. And it means a lot because when I first started going out with Mike, and we did Christmases at his dad does Christmas cake for everybody.
Oh.
A Christmas cake each for everyone.
Like, oh, wow.
You know, that size of a saucer. They're really beautiful, and he spends a lot of time on it. I don't like Christmas cake.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bad?
No.
It's a quiet taste.
Heard his little heartbreak. Boyfriend's dad.
They're really beautiful. He puts that little conifer tree. Is it conifer tree?
What?
Fir tree? Christmas tree. It's a tree. He puts a tree
Christmas
on.
Tree.
He puts a tree on, and
that'd squash it.
It's very not like a tree version of those little green army men like that.
Yeah.
Puts them in.
Well,
and
you can't look at like little green army men.
Ha 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 ha.
of sounds like Elvis. If you and that guy got together.
Mum, I think you should start making Maisie a chocolate orange cheesecake for Christmas, because I don't know how to say this. Whenever Dad brings the Christmas cake over, she makes that noise. It's not appropriate for the family Christmas table.
Oh no. He makes these Christmas cakes for everybody, and it's so much effort for him to do. You know, they take a lot of time. So he asked me up front, "Do you like Christmas cake?" And I said no, because I couldn't have him. Normally I'd say yes, just to be polite, if it's a little thing that you can have or something. But I couldn't have him making a cake for me. And I didn't expect anybody to make a cake in place of this. And his mum took it upon herself to make a chocolate orange cheesecake, just so I felt included and not left out.
That's lovely.
And I think I'd asked Mike what's her favourite flavour, and there was no question about it, because I bang on about chocolate orange all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so lovely. And I thought it was just going to happen the first Christmas to sort of make me feel welcome. It's happened every Christmas. It's so nice. It's the best part of... I look forward to it so much. It's so nice.
I understand. That's very nice.
It's really lovely cheesecake.
Also, we should probably clarify, when you were saying about the small Christmas trees, you were saying, like a small army man, and then that turned into the army men are on top of your Christmas, this Christmas cake that you're... dad makes, but he doesn't, just to clarify, he doesn't put army men on top of the individual
Christmas
cake. There's
no army men featuring at the Christmas cake, or so Christmas people in know general. That. No, I haven't seen army men since that fateful evening at the Queen's Hotel, Blackpool.
I'll read your menu back to you now.
Yes, please.
How you feel about it. You'd like still water.
Yeah.
You would like poppadoms.
Yep.
Starter, you want breaded brie with cranberry sauce, salad and balsamic vinegar from the Black Swan in the Dip.
Yep, At a pub quiz
with the team.
Yeah.
Main course, Granny's braising steak in the style of Prague goulash. We got there in the end. Side dish, curly fries, bucket and spade from Blackpool Pleasure Beach. Yeah. Drink, a clockwork orange from Shuffle.
Clockwork orange, James.
James doesn't understand puns.
Yeah.
A chockwork.
Well, I go to a Tim Vine gig and I'm like, he just said it. I just
these are just facts.
Well, what is
these
that?
Are it's just a facts.
Weird list of stuff.
Why have they brought you a blindfolded horse? You've asked for a simple thing at Pizza Express.
A chockwork orange from Shuffle. Dessert, Diane's chocolate orange cheesecake a la Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a nice menu, I think.
I think that's a nice menu. I would eat that.
I feel so happy just thinking about it.
Maisie, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you, Maisie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, there we are, James. The off-menu menu of Maisie Adam and a lovely sip of...
peppermint tea. Don't worry.
Does that count as green tea?
No, sir. This is peppermint
tea. Get out of here.
No, this is peppermint tea. Green tea is what... I mean, Maisie didn't say it either, so she got to stay in.
Yes, she did.
Thank you, Maisie.
Good
menu, I think.
Good menu. Rude episode.
A rude episode. I mean, you heard us, listener. We tried to divert it. We didn't want to be rude, me and Ed.
I did.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you very much to Maisie for coming in. Do go and see Maisie on tour. Her show is called Buzzed. It starts in September. And you can go to maisieadam.com for tickets.
And go to Shuffle.
And go to Shuffle in Brighton and order a chockwork orange.
Yeah, maybe go and see Maisie in Brighton, get the chockwork orange. Go see Maisie in Blackpool. Imagine how exciting that'll be.
Oh, my God. Is she even touring to Blackpool?
You'd think so. If she's not, I'm going to be disappointed.
But that would be a great night in Brighton. Go and see Maisie, then go out for a chockwork orange.
Yeah, to Shuffle.
The full experience.
Yeah, you've got the full Maisie Adam experience. Can't get more Maisie than that.
Yeah, and every person who's working in Shuffle, say to them, are you Maisie Adams' fiancé?
Yeah. Why have you not played the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
You've got to go in there, you've got to put a Rolling Stones song on it.
Yeah.
And you've got to complain, even if it gets played, you've got to complain that it's not been played yet.
And then snap a pop it in half and go...
then that's it. You've had the full Maisie.
I might have some tour dates left. Go and check on my website, edgamble.co.uk.
Yes, please. Not up to much over here.
No.
Well, I guess... I'll be doing my Scandinavian tour.
Making me laugh every time you say it.
Doing my Scandinavian tour first week of September.
Yeah. Where else are you touring, James?
That's it.
Yep, just Scandinavia.
For a week.
First gigs in 3 years. Off to Scandinavia for a week, that's it.
You're both welcome.
Oh,
to come.
I don't care if I'm welcome or not. So do go and see James if... we do have some Scandinavian listeners, I'm sure.
Yes, I'll be improvising.
Yeah, maybe go and see him. See what happens.
Maybe.
See how he deals improvising to a famously polite and quiet audience.
Yes.
So thank you very much, James. Thank you very much, Benito. Thank you very much, Maisie Adam. And thank you very much, Ed Gamble.
Thank you very much, Francis Bell. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Gamble. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh wait, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe you know a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.